houses or drama or preaching or whatever you're doing. First and foremost, it's for the people you're going to. First and foremost, our lives as we live them just every day is for others. But it does something for us. And thanks for being vulnerable and honest enough to share your what God did in your hearts. Want to say, hey, where's Dave Remus? There you are. Hey, welcome home. How many months were you gone for? 6 months. So he's going to share sometime. He just surprised us. Showed up from New Zealand and was with YWAM for a time, and so glad to see you. Few new additions. Henry alluded to it in prayer. Laura and Anthony Scher had a baby last Friday. Cole Christopher Joseph, 7 pounds, 6 ounces. And out he walks. Cole didn't want to be with us. That's right. Good dad, good dad. And then Kurt and Tracy Bosmer, I've had a baby a little early, about 4 weeks. Rebecca Grace, 4 pounds, 13 ounces, in Stratford. And I haven't heard yet today. I don't know if anyone has any type of update. As of yesterday, things were all right, and they're just waiting. It should be released today, they figure, even at that size. So we can continue to keep them in prayer. I'm just going to share something really brief this morning. When I was about 14 or 15 and about grade 10, I went to Pitch and Praise. How many of you have been to Pitch and Praise? So some have been to camp, some have been to Pitch and Praise. Now, when I went, it was for grade 7 through high school. Now we've got Pitch and Praise and JR Pitch in the fall. And so when I was in about grade 10, went to Pitch and Praise, and I was really spiritually focused, and I found a girl. And so I like this girl, and you know, when we went, the big thing to do was to have water fights, right, Gavin? That was the thing, right? So everyone would bring shaving cream, water balloons, like guns, like water guns, like huge things. And it would be like 300-400 people with this massive water fight. Some of you I can see are smiling because you were leaders then, trying to say, don't get the tents wet or inside. I remember having a water balloon thrown in our tent. And anyway, after a big water fight, I thought, I'm going to go for a walk with this girl. And now it was at Stainer Camp, and there's a road that kind of wraps around Stainer Camp. And I thought, we'll go out there and just go for a walk. And along the road, there were these light posts. So like any city street. And I wanted to get up enough courage to ask her out. And so I thought, as I looked at one light post after the other, I thought, by the time we get to there, I'm going to do it. And one light post passed, and another, and another. And soon the road, some of you know what I'm talking about. Soon the road was getting shorter and shorter, and we were almost back to the entryway at the camp. And so I finally mustered up enough courage to ask her out. And all of us need those types of things, signposts, markers in our life. And this morning I just want to look at one of those specifically. You don't believe me that we need signposts and markers in our life? How many of you have things in your work day or your school day where you mark the day, the time that ticks by until you're done? Maybe it's breaks, maybe it's lunch hour, maybe it's like all of a sudden before you're ready to close down, you've got, Robert has got his hand right up. I'll get to it. Yeah, she said yes. We had a very, very, very intense 1.5 month relationship. And I was. Thanks for asking. Yes, she said yes. So, I went back to my tent and I told the guys, and they laughed at me. So, but we all have these signposts, these markers in our lives, right? And whether they mark our day or whatever we do. We have birthdays and anniversaries, and we celebrate all of these things. Sometimes we make them up just to help the year go by. We all look to Friday, you know, sing the song, come on, because the weekend's coming, right? Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. So we all have these markers in our life, and God knows the way we tick. I was interested, when I was reading through the Gospels, there's a couple times where Jesus you kind of get an insight to what he's thinking because Jesus knew the people's hearts. He knew what we're like as humans. God designed us. He knows what we're like. And so he gives us some things to help us understand our relationship with him a little bit better. And today we're going to look at baptism, really briefly what that's about. But before we learn what baptism is, let's have a look at what baptism is not.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
From what I understand, that was his son, so that makes it even better. So, yeah, baptism is not necessarily that, but what is baptism? You know, what's it all about? Many other things in the church, people can look at and say, it's what the church wants from me. You know, they're asking for my time, my money, my service. You know, the church is just grabbing for anything. They're hypocrites, or this, they're that, the other. These two things, baptism and the Lord's Supper, we're focusing on baptism today. Are what we call ordinances. And these things are for us. It's something that God put in place for us. From our denomination, I'll read you our denominational stance on baptism. The Christian ordinances are two in number, baptism and the Lord's Supper. They are the outward rites appointed by Christ to be administered in each local church, not as means of salvation, but as visible signs and seals of its reality. And next, baptism. Baptism by water is the symbol of one's union by faith with Christ by death, burial, and resurrection. It constitutes the public confession of these spiritual realities to the world and its answer of a good conscience toward God. Baptism is administered preferably by immersion to those who have been born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and who give evidence of the genuineness of their salvation. The meaning of baptism is taken from a Greek word. You can go to the next slide. It's baptizo. And there's three main meanings, which I think are great. To dip repeatedly, to immerse, to submerge. Number two, to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water. But the third one is my favorite, to overwhelm. I really think that's great. And that is the word that's used several times in the New Testament in a few different ways. But it literally means to immerse. Now, there's several modes of baptism, the most common of which is immersion. That's the kind that we find in the Bible. And some churches really are very, you know, you have to be immersed. If you haven't been immersed, you haven't been baptized. Personally, I don't see it that way. Some people are baptized by sprinkling or pouring in their tradition. For example, from our Anabaptist roots, Mennonite roots, they were the first ones in our church history basically to suggest a new baptism, where the church had been doing some infant baptism, where it's a choice, it's an identification. And during some persecution times, there were groups and pockets who couldn't go public to be baptized. They couldn't go out to a pond or somewhere where you could immerse, and they gather secretly in homes and sprinkle or pour. And some churches have continued that tradition. And I think that's rich, and there's heritage. And I think in God's eyes, it's the same thing. God's not looking so much to what's done on the outside. God looks at the heart. So the point and purpose of baptism is that we identify with God. Now, there's a few different kinds of baptism. There's John's baptism. So in the Bible, we see John the Baptist baptizing people, but it wasn't for the same reason Jesus did. It was a preparation for the Messiah. It was of repentance, but that's where it ended. And when Jesus was baptized and he taught others to baptize, it became different. It was a baptism of identification. It was a baptism, yes, of repentance, yes, of all these things. We're going to look at those. But it's more of identifying ourselves with Christ. As he was baptized, so we are baptized. As he died, was buried, and raised to life, so we do the same. So there's three main illustrations. that baptism really signifies. First of all, is clean. It signifies that we are clean. We were dirty with sin, but we're now clean. We're purified. Romans 8, verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are not fully free from temptation when you're baptized. You're not fully free from temptation when you decide to follow Jesus. But in baptism, it signifies, and you know what, that you're cleaned. We are cleaned when we come to faith in Jesus. The moment you decide to follow Jesus, the moment you ask for forgiveness from your sins, you are clean, past, present, future. We don't get totally how that works. But baptism is a symbol of that. It helps you realize that that takes place. Secondly is new life and resurrection. We have died to our old sinful self. Okay, we're raised to new life in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who conquered both death and the grave and sin, lives in us. And we have a spirit. And so we have a newness of life. We are resurrected. Romans 5 and 6 are a great place to read if you're looking for more. But I'll read a few verses from there. 6, 1 to 4 says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to our sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through the baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might have new life. So sin entered the world through one man, Adam. That's what Romans 5 says. And grace and forgiveness entered the world through one man, Jesus Christ. And it's in identifying with him, being his death, his burial, his resurrection. And that's the symbol, another symbol, of baptism. And the third one is simply new direction. Okay, it's a way that we take 2 Corinthians 5:17 talks about us being new creations. And the words it uses there are the best way for us to understand is the difference between breed and species. Okay, there are different breeds of, say, cats or dogs. Okay, and if you had some breed of a cat and you were able to change it into a new breed of cat, it's still a cat. Okay, who's cats lovers? You guys cat lovers? God bless you. Okay. Our cat now lives on the farm, so it's okay, well fed. But if you were to take a cat and change it into, say, a squirrel or a dog or a monkey, that would be something completely different. And our newness of life is just like that. When you go from death into life, when you go from not following Jesus to having your sins forgiven and following him, you become a new creation. You're not just a new breed. You're not just kind of this different kind of human. You are completely wholly different. And baptism signifies that. Who is baptism for then? Okay, first of all, baptism is for you. Okay, it's for us. God put this in place because he knows the way we tick. We love birthdays and holidays. Some people are more, you know, about timelines and things than others, but we all, whether you're kind of spontaneous or you're a really hardline type A personality, we love markers and signs in our lives. And signs and markers in our life help us look back on what was, help us understand what's going on now, and help us move forward with hope for the future. That's why we really like hitting Wednesday and then Friday and the work week's getting over. We mark these things in our day, in our life, looking forward to things. It's almost Christmas, it's almost Easter, it's almost summer. We work this way, and God gave it to us as a sign and seal of what he did in us already. Baptism doesn't necessarily, it's not for salvation. It's not by being baptized all of a sudden you're saved. No, that happens before or with, but they are separate. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward commitment. So first of all, baptism is for you. Secondly, baptism is for others. And it's for others in the sense that biblically, baptism took place outside. It took place in your community. So you identified with yourself with Christ. You decided to follow him. You were going in a new direction. You were no longer a Jew or a Greek or whatever you were. You're now a Christian. And you would go to the common place where people would go to gather water, or like in that community, in those communities, there were central places. And you would go there very publicly and be baptized. And many people would know about baptism. John did it, others did it for other reasons. But doing that in front of your friends and neighbors, you said once and for all, this is who I was, but this is who I am. When I go under this water, I don't come up the same. and people wouldn't look at you the same. I've read stories in other countries where they've done very public baptisms. In our day and age, where Christianity is looked down upon or illegal, and it was that moment that persecution began, because it was that moment that they fully identified themselves with Christ and said, you know, it's not just a personal belief. It's not something I keep quiet to myself. This is who I am. I am God's. I've made a choice to follow Jesus. And thirdly, it's for God. That might sound odd, but it is. We publicly declare before others that we choose to follow God because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit lives in us. Because God publicly declared before everyone through his son hanging on the cross that he chose us. So we're giving it back to God through an act, a declaration. It seems so simple, but God understands us. I found a really great video online this week that someone produced for their own church to help them understand why baptism. So watch this. It's very different than what I've ever seen. It really spoke to me, so hopefully it will you. And then we'll wrap things up understanding why we'd want to be baptized a little bit.
Jesus is baptized at the beginning of his ministry, and at the end of his time on earth, he tells his followers that every believer should have an experience like that in their journey. Now, I was baptized when I was 8 years old, but my journey hasn't always lived up to that moment. I've wandered, I've doubted, sometimes I've just rebelled against God. So it begs the question, what was my baptism for? Was it inauthentic? Was it a poor attempt at an empty ritual? Or a rite of passage that didn't stick? What's the point of a moment like that if our journey will still have its struggles? I mean, what is baptism, and why does it matter so much to Jesus? It turns out, as is often the case with Jesus, that there's actually a story behind the story. And the story behind the story in Jesus' baptism is the Exodus. When the Hebrew people were in Egypt, they weren't really a people at all. They were just a bunch of poor extended family living in somebody else's country where they were property. Every day they went to work and they were reminded that they had no identity, no rights, no freedom by the lashes that hit their backs when they couldn't make enough bricks to keep up with the thriving economy of Egypt. Can you imagine the feeling of the lashes on your back when you couldn't keep up with the demands of your taskmasters? I mean, how about you? Have you ever come home from a day of work and felt like your identity was nothing more than a cog in a machine? Maybe you feel like even the people who are closest to you in life would rather use you than know you. What happens to our identity when the loudest voices are the ones that beat us down? So God looks down and he sees the Hebrew people, and he sees that they know themselves as slaves and workhorses, but they don't know themselves as children of God, and he decides to do something about it. So he sends Moses into Pharaoh's courts. Moses says, let the people go. Pharaoh says no, and God sends devastating plagues on the nation of Egypt. Eventually, Pharaoh relents, and for the first time in generations, the Israelite people are free. They walk out of Egypt to become their own people. They come up against the waters of the Red Sea, and at that point, Pharaoh changes his mind, and he sends his armies to get them. And what do you do when you think that God has saved you and then you're not so sure? What do you do when doubt and struggle enter in? Maybe you don't do anything. Maybe God comes through. God sends Moses to lead. He puts his hands outstretched over the waters of the Red Sea, and the waters literally part as the people of Israel walk through on dry ground. Now Pharaoh's armies think they can get to them, so they pursue them. Except as they enter the Red Sea, the waters come back in and swallow them up. And all of a sudden, you're Israel. You've been saved twice already. You're standing on dry ground, and you've come up out of the water. You keep reading, though. And after God brings Israel out of the water, you sort of wonder if he bet on the wrong horse. because they still have struggles on their journey. They still have problems along the way. In fact, there are moments when you flat out wonder if they've lost their identity again after their Red Sea moment. It's like they keep listening to these voices that whisper to them or shout to them and say, "You're not who you think you are." But maybe that's the point. God didn't bring them through the water because they would be perfect. He brought them through the water because he knew that they would wander and that they would need an anchor in their story, a tether to their identity when lies get shouted at them about who they are and their future. Now, baptism for Jesus doesn't just look back to the Exodus. It looks forward too, because our deliverance didn't happen at the Red Sea with Moses' arms extended. It happened at the cross with Jesus' arms outstretched. We weren't rescued from Pharaoh's army. No, we've been saved from the slavery of sin. It's not the waters that cleanse us, but they symbolize a life that has gone to the cross with Jesus and come up from the grave with a new identity of freedom in him. As we're going to have moments when we're tempted to believe that we're the old us instead of the new us. You're going to have voices screaming at you that say that you're not holy, you don't belong to him, you aren't loved. But you and I are given a moment to step into the waters, to feel grace wash over us from head to toe. Jesus says, be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your sins may seem to pursue you, but they've been drowned in the blood of Christ shed at the cross. We've been renamed, reclaimed by Jesus. We've been adopted as sons and daughters. We are children of God. Engage in a defiant act of protest against the voices of shame that chase you and tell the world that you belong to him.
I don't know about you, but that makes sense to me. Makes a lot of sense to me. So why bother being baptized? Why bother? I know for me, I was baptized back here when I was about grade 11. God had been doing some things in my life to get some things straight. And we all need, a tether, an anchor, a signpost, something to look back to say, no, that's the old me. Even though things follow me, even though I struggle, even though I'm not perfect, even though I have the Holy Spirit in me, I literally have God in me and I have a new nature, I still mess it up sometimes. I still need some things. And you know what? Will your life be changed if you choose to follow Jesus? Absolutely. Will things be different if you're baptized? Absolutely. Absolutely. Because you've identified yourself with Christ in front of others and in front of God. I know for me, I've been trying to grow and I've been on some camps teams and some ministry teams and leadership stuff and all sorts of stuff throughout my life, especially from about grade 7 on. But when I made that choice, it was like I'd been trying to grow and I kept hitting a lid. I couldn't grow past. And it's like that all came off and things made sense. God's word finally made a lot of sense to me. I started to sense God's call in my life and some things got in order that I did not have in order before. Can you be saved and not be baptized? I think you can. I think it's an illustration. So baptism is not tied to our salvation, but if as a follower of Jesus you choose to never partake in the Lord's Supper and never be baptized, something is wrong with your relationship. You can't do that. So the theory of it is, yeah, I can still be a believer and not be baptized. The practicality is, no, you can't at all. If you don't partake in the Lord's Supper and baptism, these things that God gave to us to help us, they're not as much for him as they are for us, to look at our identity. Something's off in our relationship. In the Bible, we see that people don't need much teaching. In fact, people decide to follow Jesus and were baptized the same day, the same moment. The two went hand in hand. I think that's why sometimes we have all sorts of different teaching on that, but they do go hand in hand. So I want to ask you this morning where you're at. If you have been baptized, I want you, as you go from here, just to remember that. Remember your identity. Remember the anchor. Remember the signpost in your life that you're not the same. That's the old you. And you are God's. And may that encourage you and empower you and allow you to live in the fullness of the life that God has planned for you. If you are a follower of Jesus and you've never been baptized, I want to encourage you to be baptized and to speak to me. We want to do that sometime this spring, and we'll do it based on people's schedule, and there are people who work Sundays and all sorts of stuff. If we need to do it some other time, that's great. Now, as a church, we do a baptism class. You don't need teaching to be baptized, but you've just had it. There. Baptism class is done. So if you've not been baptized, you just have to simply ask yourself why. Why would you not do this? Something that helps you understand your identity. Why would you not stand before others and say, you know what, this is for real, for real. This is the real thing. And if you've never decided to follow Jesus, consider it. It is life-changing. Read the Gospels. Find out for yourself. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to a video. Don't listen to others. Listen to the voice of God speaking quietly. That's the Holy Spirit in your heart. Why would you want to follow him? Because everything's different. It's so much better. I can't explain it fully, but all I can do is invite you to try it. It's like jumping in a pool or jumping in the water. Test the waters. They're good. Taste and see that God is good. So this morning as you go, we're not having a closing song or anything like that. I just want you to think about that. And those of you who have been baptized, if you have kids or friends you know haven't entered into that, talk with them. Don't push them. Don't tell them you have to. It's their choice. It's a personal choice. That's why we don't practice infant baptism. It's a baptism of identification. And may you, as you look back on your baptism, or as you look forward to when you will be baptized, may that do something in your heart. Place down an anchor, a signpost. When you're tempted, when you're discouraged, when things don't go right, as often they don't, may that be one thing you look back to and you can say, for sure, this is real. And I have a relationship with God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything this morning, for our teachers downstairs and helpers, and for all the information we've taken in this morning, for our times of worship, for times where we've spoken, for the time we'll have around tables at lunch, whether here or elsewhere. Thanks, God, so much for so many who have put a lot of time and energy into helping us connect with you better. May we go from here encouraged. May we go from here feeling loved. Thanks so much, God, that you give us these markers, these signposts, to help us in our walk with you, so that we might know that we know that we know that we're yours and we can have a full life with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.